You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today's Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series takes us to Northern Illinois.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Alan Buss. He serves as president of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Buss, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
We are looking forward to getting to know you a little better today and giving our listeners the opportunity to get to know you better as well. We start off with the lightning round. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
You're like, I have no
choice. Hesitation there,
no
but
choice,
we're going to go.
But okay.
I go to a lot of church meetings. Lightning rounds scare me.
Not that
this
kind of lightning.
This is a fun one, though. Yeah.
Favorite color?
Green.
All right. Favorite cuisine?
I'm a hamburger guy, American food.
All right.
American food. All right. We know you love the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Beyond that, favorite book?
This summer I read Theo of Golden, which is nonfiction that I read. Otherwise, Ryan Trinetti's book here, The Quiet Ambition.
Ooh, that is an excellent book.
Yes.
Great choice. Yes. Okay, very important question. Favorite office supply?
That one stumps me. I guess a pen.
Okay.
Is there a specific pen?
A nice, expensive pen, yes. That glides well.
Fair enough.
Favorite dessert?
Cheesecake.
Mm. That was a quick answer. Favorite vacation destination?
Wisconsin. Hayward, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Favorite hymn?
Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.
Nice.
Excellent choice. And last one, favorite time of day?
Evening when I'm out riding my bike. Bicycle.
Whoa. I approve of this.
Listen to
as
all
a
those
fellow cyclist.
Decisive answers. I like it. All right. I look, there are some fun ones in there. We're going to have to unpack when we get
we'll
to that part
to
in
that.
The in the conversation. Let's talk about home. Where did you grow up? Tell us about home.
I grew up in Watertown, Wisconsin, just in between Milwaukee and Madison, and actually in a little village called Pipersville, which is just a little burg with a bar. Never been there, though.
Oh. Oh, okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
There must be stories, but we don't have to know stories. But I am curious. What was your childhood like? What was growing up like in Wisconsin? Your school years. What was that like for you?
I attended school at St. John's in Watertown, Wisconsin, and then I attended high school at Lakeside Lutheran High School in Lake Mills. If I wasn't going to be a pastor, I wanted to be a farmer because I used to milk cows, bale hay, and do stuff like that. So I always got a good workout. I remember once shaking my pastor's hand after church, and his hand was very soft. And I thought, this must be the laziest guy around. Today, that is me.
From high school, where did things go? Where did you
I went to Concordia, Wisconsin. I had 1 year at the old campus in downtown Milwaukee, and then three up in Mequon, where I met my wife. And actually, three of our four children attended there as well. So all six people from the immediate Buss family attended at Concordia University.
That's fantastic. Tell us about the journey that led to seminary, the deciding factor between being a pastor and a farmer. What was that like for you?
Well, to be honest, and I'm a pastor, so I should be honest. I'm a Christian. I should be honest. I went to college, but I didn't tell anybody I was going to be a pastor because I thought, you know, this is hard. There's languages. So the first couple years I could skim by. But people, as I was growing up, said, Alan, we think you should think about being a pastor. As a matter of fact, my eighth grade teacher, Mr. Bartles, wrote on my report card, pursue work in the church. And he might have done that because he saw my math grades and accounting would not work. But as a matter of fact, I just saw him this summer again, reminded him of that. And he didn't remember, but I remembered. So it was the encouragement of the church.
Mm-hmm.
What did you study at Concordia University, Wisconsin?
I did like the pre-sem program. So languages, Greek, Hebrew, German, and things like that.
What was that like being there during the time of transition from downtown Milwaukee to the Mequon, the new Mequon campus, which, I mean, wasn't a new campus, but it was new to Concordia?
That was an amazing experience. So I was a country boy. All of a sudden, my first year, I'm in the middle of inner city Milwaukee, doing what freshman people in college do. So that was really good for this farm boy. It was amazing to be a part of setting up classrooms right before they were beginning on the new campus. And all those new things, it was just, it was an exciting adventure. And it's been marvelous to see how that university has thrived on that campus. So it was just really good for me. And as I mentioned, I met my wife there. So that was the best thing I took out of college.
Tell us about seminary, your seminary experience, going to seminary. What was that like, the transition from Concordia, Wisconsin to seminary?
Yeah, I chose Fort Wayne because it was more like a farm field than the St. Louis campus that was a little more inner city. And it was a great experience. Met some lifelong friends there. Always humbling to think I actually made it through the seminary. And God has taught me more about being a pastor after seminary than actually there. But I had a good foundation and some wonderful professors.
Yeah, highlights professors from your time at Concordia Theological Seminary.
Cameron McKenzie was one of my favorite professors. He also became a running partner for me back then. So we are still friends. He's the godfather to our youngest son. So that was good. David Scare always pushed me and challenged me. So that was a good experience as well. And Larry Rast was one of my classmates. So it's interesting to see how God raised up a whole bunch of people. And as a matter of fact, there's a bunch of guys on the COP that come from that same era at Fort Wayne.
Where did the journey take you after seminary? Graduating as a new seminarian, ordination, what was that a journey for you?
Well, I need to give a shout out to my vicarage, which was a transformative experience. This farm boy ended up in Northern California, and that was good. I had a wonderful vicarage supervisor who really taught the value of visitation, down-to-earth ministry. You couldn't wait for people to move in and transfer in, but you actually had to meet people, visit them, and share the gospel with them, invite them to church. It was just, it was really good for me. It changed my whole ministry outlook. Mm-hmm. And then when I graduated from the seminary, I went to Gilbert's, Illinois, a congregation that was 103 years old and never had a full-time pastor. And quite a few people didn't want one, but they were in the growing suburbs of Chicago. So the district said, we'll help you get a pastor, or we'll plant a church down the road and then you'll never have to worry about it. So a little bit law-based, but it was really, really good. Looked like the Little House on the Prairie church. But the word of the Lord grew just like the book of Acts. We built a new church, started a preschool. Actually, we always said we built a new church building because the church grew because it's all about the people. But that was really, really good. It's very interesting that the placement director, Jan Case, said to me about 4 hours before call service, Alan, after call service, I need to talk to you because there's something unique about your call. You don't say that to a guy who has no idea what he's going to do. And so I'm a little bit in panic mode, but I would have never chose St. Peter, but the Lord and the church chose St. Peter, and I spent 10 and a half years there.
What did you learn during your time there at St. Peter?
I learned that you got to visit your people, kind of like on Vicarage. You never want to be so far ahead of your people that they think you're the enemy and they start shooting at you. And asking a lot of questions. We got to ask questions of the people that were there before me, and a bunch of them were there after me. And Yes. Yeah, so they taught me a lot about being a pastor. And most of the stuff I learned at seminary, they weren't interested in. But most of them were interested in Jesus and living out their faith. They wanted to see their congregation thrive. And so being involved in the community, I learned in Gilbert's how important it was that part of my role was to be involved in the community. So I was a fire department chaplain, and I was a pastor to the community as well, in the best sense of the term.
Where did you go after that? You spent, I think you said 10 and a half years there. Where was the next stop?
Next stop was the last stop before this stop. That was Emmanuel in Belvedere, Illinois. I was called to be the senior pastor, a large congregation, thriving Lutheran school, about 30 miles west, up near Rockford. And that was a great learning experience as well. Once again, learning that most of the lay people wanted me to succeed. They wanted me to be a good pastor, and they were going to help me and lead me. And if they thought I needed some more instruction, they might pull me aside and say, hey, what are you doing? So I was just really blessed there. And we paid off a debt. We were much more involved in our community. And we rejoiced that by the Lord's word and spirit, more people knew about Jesus as their Savior.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Alan Buss. He's president of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We'll continue our conversation and getting to know the Council of Presidents series here in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason: to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50 plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in the Getting to Know the Council of Presidents series today. Our guest is the Reverend Dr. Alan Buss. He's president of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We've been talking a little bit about where you grew up and education and serving as a parish pastor in two congregations. Bring us up to now your time of serving as district president for Northern Illinois District. What are the things that you get to do as district president? What are the things that you love about being a DP?
I've got to differentiate between the things that I do and the things I love to do. I love to visit. You know, it kind of flows into the ministry. Sure. So almost every Sunday I'm out preaching someplace else. We have a lot of vacancies, but people do invite the district president to come in. I remember I was down in Hersher, Illinois. On a Saturday night, I walked in, and a dear woman saw me and said, "Why are you here? What's wrong?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a district president, and I do happy things, too." So that was just being there, listening to the people, has been the most rewarding. Obviously, there's ecclesiastical supervision, parts of the role. That's very important. And it always is, how do we win over a brother or a sister for the sake of the kingdom? And how do we encourage good ministry? And as Scripture says, we want to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And it's a challenging time for the church, but this is our time to be the church.
What does the Northern Illinois District consist of? Because in Illinois, there's Northern Illinois, Central Illinois, Southern Illinois. So tell us about what the Illinois District is, the geography and the people.
Well, we are more than the city of Chicago. This is how I say it. From about Kankakee up to the Cheddar Curtain, which is Wisconsin, from Lake Michigan over to, what's that state over there? Iowa. It's the northern third of Illinois, about 198 congregations, about 60 schools, hundreds of church workers.
198 congregations as well as schools. Schools, and that's only one third of the state.
That's a lot packed in.
Yeah, there's a, I'm sure a lot of history there. what is, there's a lot of history. Why are there so many congregations in that part of the country, in that part of Illinois?
Because a lot of Germans settled in Chicago area.
Uh-huh.
And then a lot of people moved out from Chicago to the suburbs. We are primarily Chicago and the suburbs, but we have some beautiful congregations out in the western part of our district. We're in this together, large, small. We're faithful to our confession, but faithful to the Lord's mission. And so we've worked a lot talking about partnerships and that the Church of the Future is going to need to partner, kind of like we did years ago, but we forgot. So,
what would you say is unique about Northern Illinois District?
Well, I can go to the heart of Chicago, and in 2 hours I can be in rural Western Illinois. So I think that is unique. I think also, like all of our districts, but we have some very large congregations and some very small congregations. And, you know, we're watching decline in especially Chicago. So we're working on how we can partner better in the future so that we don't lose some ministry presence where there's millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You've mentioned visitation several times. Why is visitation something that is important to you and to the church at large?
Well, I can say that the number one complaint I've gotten over the years as district president is a lack of visitation. And very few people complain about preaching and other things, but they do complain about that, how important hospital calls are, visiting the sick and the infirm. My vicar supervisor taught me well, being out with the people. That's where the ministry is. You think about the life of Jesus. He was in the temple and he was in the synagogue, but he was also in people's homes. And I learn a lot about a congregation, not by reading about them, but by seeing them, by listening to them, by worshiping with them, and by preaching to them.
Mm-hmm. What happens in a visit? What do you think is key when making a visit? What do you aim for?
That's a really good question.
Whether it's visiting a parishioner or in your role as a district president, visiting a congregation or another setting, what do you aim for in some of those visits?
I believe it was Aristotle who said, we have two ears and one mouth, so we do twice as much listening than speaking. And that's a little bit hard for pastors because, you know, we like to talk. But I think listening, hearing congregations' hopes and dreams, their laments, sometimes it's kind of like sitting in somebody's living room and maybe the conversation is slowing down and you look up on the wall and say, oh, who's that picture of or who made that or whatever? And everybody's got a story. Every congregation's got a story. And the beautiful thing is that Jesus wraps his story into ours, and he makes our stories better and filled with hope in the gospel.
What else did your time in the parish, your two congregations, teach you about being in a leadership role that you do get to visit with a lot of churches and visit with a lot of people? What are some other things that you brought from your experience in the parish into a role as district president?
The value of lay people, listening to them, that they are the priesthood of all believers is a very important component in the church, that there's a lot of things I don't know that I wasn't trained to do. When I came out of seminary, I didn't know how to read a budget sheet, you know, a profit loss statement. And so they had to teach me as well as a bunch of other things. I think also how important it is to, say, preach a good sermon that's faithful to the word, that applies God's word to the lives of people, both law and gospel, to look them in the eye. I think that also when people know that I got struggles and, you know, I can be a little vulnerable, certainly I don't want to be vulnerable with my deepest, darkest sins, but to be vulnerable enough to say, you know what, I struggle sometimes, I don't pray like I should or whatever. I think people really appreciate that our ministry is incarnational.
Why are you a pastor in the LCMS today?
Uh, probably because people in the Wisconsin Synod schools that I attended said that I should be a pastor, and the LCMS was my church home. So I'm really, you know, whether it's good or bad, it's they're partially to blame for it, I guess. I'd like to think the Holy Spirit is. I view the LCMS a little bit like my mom. My mom has gone to be with the Lord Jesus, but she's the mom I have. She wasn't perfect. The LCMS is the spiritual mother I have. She's not perfect, but she's my spiritual mother. I want her to be the best that she can be, and I want her to be healthy and strong. I want her to be less divided than sometimes she is, and that means that we got to get everybody at the table and say, how do we do this? Because we are the family of God, and he's the boss. He's the leader, and we're the followers.
What makes the LCMS special or unique from your position as somebody who gets to see a lot of the Synod? What is it about the LCMS that is particularly unique and special for all of us?
We have a rich heritage. We have always had a mission heart. We want to be faithful to the Word. If we're going to deliver God's goods, we want to deliver them faithfully. We want so I think, you know, those are some of our strong suits. I think we benefit from meeting people where they're at. And, you know, we don't always find people where the Lord wants them or we want them, but we got to meet them where they're at, kind of like Jesus did. And I think that that has been an asset. You know what? We're a family. Sometimes we have our own little squabbles and our own little stuff. Then the Lord's got to humble us and remind us who we are, and he chose us. We didn't choose him.
Amen. All right, let's go back and unpack some lightning round.
Yes.
When we asked about your favorite vacation destination, you mentioned Hayward, Wisconsin. What is special about Hayward, Wisconsin?
When our kids were growing up, we went to Hayward every summer, spent time with aunts and uncles and cousins. And it just has fond memories. I'm a bicyclist, and so I would pack my bike up and see the beauty of God's creation. And we would worship with the little LCMS church up there in Hayward, Wisconsin. It just has a lot of fond memories. Our kids will as well remember that.
Wisconsin hills on a bike are no joke. So kudos to you for bringing your bike up there.
I was a younger man back then. I don't know if I could do some of the hills I did then.
Yeah, I feel that too. Now, you're a cyclist. You mentioned your favorite time of day is your evening when you're out riding bikes. What do your bike rides look like in Northern Illinois? Is it flat? Is it cornfields? Is it city? What kind of places do you like to ride?
Depends how much time I have, but if I got plenty of time, I head south of town and go ride through the cornfields and look at the farms. And so that's the best ride. If I'm in town, I just make a loop around town.
Ride through the cornfields with your soft hands.
Yep.
Yes, my soft hands. You'll remember. That's what we'll remember about this interview.
That's true.
I passed through the soft hand.
The next time we see you in person, yep.
All right, we've got another minute. I want to ask about the book. What was the first book that you mentioned? I knew you mentioned The Quiet Ambition by Ryan Tanetti. What was it? Was it Theo of Golden?
Theo of Golden, yeah. That's pretty popular these days. And I'm really proud of myself that I read a fiction book that wasn't a church book. My wife would be proud of me, too. And it's just all the hot, and actually some people in the pews were talking about it. Said, oh, yeah, I've read that book. So I felt a little bit timely, like I knew what was happening in the culture. And it was just a good book, good character development, and there wasn't anything smutty or embarrassing about it, which is always good, too.
Yeah. That makes for an excellent book.
Am I the
book.
Only one in the room who is not familiar with this book?
No, I don't know it either.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so what do I need to know about this book? What was intriguing about it?
Fascinating ending, good character development. There's some Christian analogies in it. And if I understand it right, this is the author's first book, and he's 80 years old.
Oh.
Never too late to try something new.
That's right.
Now putting that on my TBR list.
We'll be waiting for your books.
The Reverend Dr. Alan Buss, President of the Northern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, giving us a chance to get to know you better. Thanks for being our guest today, Dr. Buss.
What a delight. Thank you both for what you do. And may the Lord bless His church and you guys.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.